Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, the first day of March, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 40 in More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph. Let him tell you about it, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And our readers today are the 12 Steps, Robin P., the 12 Traditions, Alice G. Readers of the text are Shelley E., Kara L., and Betsy H. The share ID for Sunday, February 28th, is 16,492. That's 16492. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, March 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 16,494. That's 16494. And our newcomer greeter, so if you're a newcomer, stay on. We close the meeting at 10 to the hour, is Lorraine N. And announcements person is Leslie M. And thank you all for your service. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Jacksonville, Florida. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Robin P. And I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, all. Alice G., recovering compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And so that's a star 1 feature on your phone, not the mute button. We appreciate that. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 40, the second paragraph down in the chapter More About Alcoholism. And it begins with, let him tell you about it. And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us going. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 40, second paragraph. Let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows, that I had been usually successful in licking my other personal problems, and that I would therefore be successful where you men failed. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. Yeah, Shelley, compulsive overeater. At first glance, when I read this, I thought, you know, I recognized Fred's glaring cockiness, and he's almost, well, and he is condescending in this. And it's also a paragraph filled with I's, capital I's. But I, that having recognized that, I have to say my story is a little different from Fred's. I remember before program thinking I've got this, or I'm sure I can do this by myself, and, thinking my problem was lack of willpower and discipline. But, because I never equated what I did with food as an addiction, and certainly never as an allergy. Food addiction was in my family, but it was just never recognized as such. Also, after having tried everything to keep the weight off, I did pretty much everything except surgery. I was really good at losing weight, but never kept it off. I was 100 pounds down, 100 pounds up, over and over again. Finally, I saw a friend, asked her what she was doing, went to a meeting with her, had no idea what OA was, literally no idea what OA was. And at that first meeting, they did a newcomer meeting, and it was a light bulb aha moment for me. I was blown away, and I had no idea. And here was an actual doctor's opinion that told me I had an allergy, an addiction, and a spiritual malady, and I'd never heard it before. And so that's where my story differs from Fred. Gratefully, I began that night to immerse myself in the program, and I consider myself really fortunate that that very first night, my Evie shared a Vision for You's phone number with me, and I began listening nonstop. I went to meetings. I worked steps. I don't even know program without visions, and I think that made a huge difference for me in my recovery. So it's possible to get it right away. As long as you immerse yourself and keep immersed in the program. So newcomers, please, please keep coming back. The answers and instructions are in the book, and higher power will handle it all if you draw close to him and let him. With that, I'll pass. Everybody have a good day.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Shelley E., and I will now remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 40, the second paragraph. Let him tell you about it. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share that hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Kathy K.
Kathy K.
Andy K. in New York.
Was that Sandy?
Sandy.
Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got it.
And Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Jamie C.
Jamie C.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. One more. Anybody else?
Donna B.
Oh, Donna. D-A-N-A. All right. We got Kathy K., Andy K., Kathleen O., Jamie C., Annabelle Z, and Donna B. So, will Kathy K. get us started, followed by Andy K. Good morning, Kathy.
Thank you, Mo, and thanks for everybody who's here today. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Boston. And, you know, this paragraph does bring back what I experienced in my early meetings of OA, which is now 28 years ago. And I have to say that it was a good couple of years before I actually became honest enough to see my powerlessness. I remember at my first few meetings, I was thinking, I tore into the OA literature. I read everything I could get my hands on. And like every other problem I had ever faced in life, I thought I could solve this one, too, if I understood what was in the book. At that point in my life, I was an agnostic, so any mention of God just caused me to bristle. And unfortunately, in those early years of my program, I kept hearing, take what you want and leave the rest. So I just left the God thing in the room and did not really do the kind of seeking I finally became willing to do after many years of on and off abstinence switching sponsors and looking for the best food plan and continuing to go to meetings all the while. So I realized that what was lacking for me for quite a few years is real humility and real surrender. And I suppose it only came to me when I finally got honest enough to see that my way was not working. It was putting off the inevitable. It was continuing to live in anxiety and depression most of my waking hours. And it really wasn't until I got to start studying the big book about 15 years ago now that I became willing to search for that relationship with a higher power, which is what we're taught to do by studying this book. I'm so grateful to be here, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy K. Andy K., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Andy.
Hi, everybody. This is Andy K. in New York. Thanks, Mo, for this meeting and everybody else who's done service. And it feels so good to be sharing on the line. I've been listening and listening for so long, probably the past year. I've been on Vision for You since it started in like 2012, but I've been consistently listening again, and I have not yet shared. I mostly listen to the recording, so it's fun and exciting to be on live. I love this paragraph. The very last sentence, I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. Ha! By the time I came into the rooms, and it was 20 years ago this month, every diet had failed. I did not have another diet in me. I knew that I had no more willpower. I was starting the morning, every morning, saying, okay, this is going to be the day I'm going to eat really well, and then I'd be picking up by 10 a.m. after I had had already a good breakfast. So today I know who I am. I know that I cannot be self-confident. I have to be God-directed and God-confident. And recently, God directed me to explore a new food plan, and I had my doubts. It's a beautiful, abundant food plan. It's actually Whole Foods plant-based, and so I'm vegan now, and I can't even believe it. I got on the scale this morning because it's the first of the month, and I hadn't weighed in a whole month, and I had to get on twice just to make sure I saw it right. It was amazing. So I know what I'm eating, and I know that I have to be abstinent to be clear-minded and to keep that channel to my higher power open. That is the most important thing today. When I clog up that channel, when I'm self-reliant and not God-reliant, I am a mess. So I am so grateful to be here today. I have a month now again, and I'm feeling pretty strong. This is my second meeting already today, and in between I spoke with a newcomer. So I'm feeling like I am taking the next right action and following God's good orderly direction today, and I'm so grateful. Thanks so much for a great meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy K. And now we have Kathleen O, followed by Jamie C. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. So, you know, Fred says, I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. And oh my gosh, how many times did I think that I would not gain my weight again, the dozens of times I was actually successful on a diet? And even when I came into a 12-step program for food addiction, I was, like Fred, also impressed by what fellows said about food addiction. And I, too, appreciated the ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first bite. And I was actually abstinent for 7 years in this 12-step program. And I thought I had it lit. I had it figured out. I had arrived. I was confident I wouldn't pick up again. I mean, 7 years is a long time. And, you know, thinking I've got this, and that is the proof that food isn't the power, or food isn't the problem, you know, lack of power was the problem. So I rested on my laurels, and the definition of that is I was satisfied with my past success and considered further effort unnecessary. I didn't need to continue enlarging on my spiritual life. I stopped really working the steps very well. Fred says it 11 times in this paragraph. So, you know, much has been given and much is required. There is no arriving. There is no cure. Fred thought that exercising his willpower would be enough. You know, we learned that Fred isn't able to stop on the basis of self-knowledge. He didn't think he'd take a few drinks and end up in an asylum. And I didn't think after 7 years of abstinence, taking a few bites of nuts and cheese, that I'd end up back in the insanity, pounding on that bar, asking myself, how could I get here again? This disease is so cunning, powerful, and baffling. You know, resting on my laurels let the addict back in, and the scene was set. I was with friends, and I wanted to be like them. And the difference is, when I work these steps, I can be with friends, bring my own food to a party, and I'm fine. But when I'm not working the steps or enlarging on my spiritual life, that's when the addict sneaks its sneaky little thing, you know, head in the door, and I come up with this good idea that, you know, having hors d'oeuvres with friends before dinner would be just fine. Seems like a good idea. And, you know, denial, well, I'm not eating the crackers with the cheese. But it just put me in a downward spiral. So, you know, I have an alcoholic mind when it comes to food, that mental twist, those mental blank spots. And thankfully, when all that happened, I was introduced to Vision 7+ years ago. Which was so helpful to me. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be on the line with all of you 6 days a week because it reminds me what I need to remember about the insanity of this disease, the subtle insanity before the bite. And miraculous things happen to those who persist and show up. So keep showing up, and I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Jamie C., followed by Annabelle Z. Good morning, Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie C. From Pennsylvania. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well. Thank
you. Okay, great. I'm really excited to share today. I don't really usually share. And I said to myself, okay, like if what we read today has, like, it calls to you and you clearly know that this is the day to do it, like, step up and share today. And sure enough, like, it couldn't have been more, you know, what I needed to hear and something that I am totally relating to today. And I'll explain. I think what really caught me in this paragraph is subtle insanity. I mean, that is just brilliant. And that is exactly what I have been experiencing over the past week. And it was coming in the form of, like, of small bites of things as I was preparing my meals. And, you know, one day it was like a little bit, and the next day, you know, I did it at two meals, you know, and noticing it kind of in the back of my mind, but having that, like, self-confidence that, like, I'm fine, you know, this is still the food I was going to eat that's on my food plan. So, like, it's okay. And, you know, kind of just watching myself do these things and rationalizing them, which to me is insanity. It's not running around the house like, you know, naked with my hair on fire in something so blatantly insane. It's subtle. And with each time I did it, I felt like I was building a wall between me and God, and the wall got high and strong really quickly. And I couldn't hear God as well as I, you know, as I was doing this. And my disease is able to get through that wall. And I think that I was just inviting it. The more self-confident, the more cocky I was feeling about doing these things, the more, you know, arrogant I was towards having to be, you know, so precise about everything. Like, that was my disease talking subtly and then getting louder and louder. I thankfully recognized what was going on, but it wasn't the kind of thing that I could get out of on my own. I had to pray about it. I had to call my sponsor. I had to ask for help. I had to work a 10th step on my fears. And I was able to stop. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Jamie C. Next up is Annabelle Z, followed by Donna B, and after that, we'll take a list of more names who'd like to share. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Annabelle. I'm a compulsive overeater in Everett, Washington, and I am just so grateful for this meeting
and the reading we do. It's this meeting or this reading this morning, I just sort of was thinking when people were sharing how this, I relate to Fred's story as a process that happened over decades in my life. And like, I don't know how long his story lasts, maybe a year, maybe a few months, you know, when they first came to visit him to when he finally, you know, got well. But in my 20s, mind you, I was in another program. In fact, I have to share that today is my 30-year anniversary in another program. And I preferred to come to my OA group this morning, you guys, because this is my struggle and this is where I know my disease really lies. Anyway, well, it doesn't lie here. Solution lies here. But in my 20s, here I am. I'm sober. I'm working the 12 steps. And yet I was binging and purging. And this line of, you know, I would be successful where you men failed. Like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't. But then I left OA. I went to a few meetings and I thought, I don't need this. I've got the program. And then that was in my 20s. In my 30s, I started a new adventure with the 11th step. And, you know, I was able to actually refuse bites of food and made real controlling. I exercised my willpower. But unfortunately, that controlling behavior around food, I was controlling everybody. And I was irritable and discontent, but I didn't know it. And I was really kind of a nightmare to be around, both at work and at home. And then, I mean, in the next paragraph, it talks about, we won't get into that, but like for a time all is well, that happened to me very much so in my 30s. And in my 40s, I like lost all my willpower. I was like, and I kept chasing this idea. I remember this memory of going up to there was dinner Friday night, and we always had game night and pizza with my family every Friday night with my kids. It was just a Friday night thing to do. And I would just have, you know, one little piece. And I don't know why everybody had to have three pieces. I just had one, you know, and I was fine. And I exercised my willpower, all gone in my 40s. Could not do it. And there's just a memory of that. Oh, I can get back to that. I can get back to that. You know, you men failed, right? I can get back to that. And I had done it so well in my 30s. So I felt I had every right to be self-confident. It would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard, right? That on guard. I couldn't fight anymore. There was no guard. I just couldn't do it in my 50s. I turned 50 last May and COVID hit, and I just had a total inability to stop once I got started, and I couldn't not get started. So thank God for OA. I'm just so grateful that I've been abstinent since October with Since Vision, just like that one I'm going to share. So thank you.
And thank you, Annabelle. Before I go to Donna, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 40, the second paragraph. Let him tell you about it. We're studying that one paragraph only. And after Donna, I will take more names. And this is Donna, spelled D-A-N-A-B. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for the beautiful introduction. I appreciate that. I am Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver. And what really strikes me in this paragraph is that it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And I think that everyone who's shared before me has really driven home the point that willpower and keeping on guard isn't effective. It doesn't work. The power of the disease is greater than, in my experience, willpower and keeping on guard. But what stands out to me even more than the inability to stay abstinent while keeping on guard is that keeping on guard is a horrible way to live. For me, it harkens the term vigilance. And growing up in an abusive and dysfunctional home where I never knew when the next shoe was going to drop and where it was going to drop, I have an understanding of what it means to keep on guard. And it's a horrible way to live. For me, I experienced a lot of anxiety, depression, which I heard somebody else mention earlier. And it also created a lot of physical problems for me that manifested in chronic diseases. So keeping on guard is just, it's a horrible way to live. And I think that the only way that I have found to be an alternative to that way of life is surrendering to a power greater than myself. And my time is running out, and that is a topic that is a topic in its own that can take hours and hours and hours. But I would never wish for someone to live keeping on guard. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Donna B. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we're on page 40, the second paragraph. Let him tell you about it. So who would like to share?
Larry G.
Okay, I got Larry G. Who else?
Alexis F.
Alexis F. I shared Sherry. Did I hear?
Yeah. Sherry M.
Sherry M. Okay, I got you, Sherry. And then who was after Sherry? Somebody just came in there. Deborah G, was it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And who was that? I heard quiet. Somebody else? So I got Larry G, Alexis F, Sherry M, Deborah G. Anyone else? In this go around? I don't want to take time, so we'll go with those four. We may have time for more after that. Larry G, you're up. Oh, who was that?
Good morning.
Monica K? I got Monica. Okay, sorry, Larry.
It's okay.
Go ahead, Larry.
Good morning. My name's Larry G. I'm from California. Thank you, Mo. What an awesome call. So many great shares. Let him tell you about it. Let Larry tell you about it. Let Larry tell you why he's got this thing licked this time. You know, there are two doctors that we talk a lot about in the big book. One is Dr. Silkworth, of course, and then the other is Dr. Young. But there's another doctor that made a contribution to AA, and that was Dr. Tebow. And he talked about grandiosity and defiance, which was the two characteristics of an alcoholic. It was like the twin sword that would just shred the alcoholic. And Fred's got it in spades, and Larry G. has it in spades. The grandiosity, I'm bigger than this disease. Defiance, I'm going to do it my way. I've been coming to OA for 26 years. I calculate that's 2,000 to 3,000 meetings I've been to, hearing about the common peril, the powerlessness of it. But it was only until last May 2021, that I actually surrendered. And the antidote to grandiosity and defiance, which Fred has in spades, he's just full of it. He's so full of himself, and Larry was so full of himself. It's surrender. It is, I had to surrender. I had to smash the idea that I could no longer eat like a normal person. On my first call, a woman from Oregon, Terry O, which I wrote this down, and I never forget it. She said that she lost the ability to white knuckle it, and she knew a binge was coming and she couldn't stop it. And on May 17th, I had lost the ability to white knuckle it, and I knew a binge was coming. I knew a 100-pounder was coming, and I couldn't stop it. You know, I want to tell you, I came in here with great courage, right, and great insight, and I chose to come into visions. But the truth is, I was beaten into submission. And I don't know the AA history. Maybe someone can call me later today about Fred. I don't know if Fred made it into AA or he died from alcoholism. But I, like Fred, you know, I had a lot of things going for me. I didn't lose my family. I didn't lose my marriage, my business. I lost all that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous 4 years ago, but I did not lose that. And I thought that I could control this, that I had this thing. that I was entitled to comfort food, which I now know there's no such thing as comfort food. And finally, I was beaten to submission. I didn't come here because I'm a great guy. I came here because I was out of options, and I found something that works. And I want to speak to the new person on this call today. If you're suffering from this disease, get off the sideline and get involved. This is a great fellowship. We are very supportive. We have the formula, which we use out of the big book. Take the steps and begin commencing working with others, and you too can recover just like me. And someone talked about the subtle insanity. This doesn't just stop when we recovered on some certain date. It's lifelong. Like someone's saying, you know, and I'll talk more about that another time. There is just so many subtle insanities that I have to recover from. Thank you, Mo. Mike Pass.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry, very much for your share. Alexis F. followed by Sherry M. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning, Mo. All the stories in the first 164 pages of the Big Book don't come with an outcome. They might be written about in other literature about the AA program, but they aren't given an outcome for a reason, I guess, and I don't know what that reason is. To me, it means that, we're not guaranteed outcomes. It's one day at a time, and the program is in God's hands and our own spiritual development. Fred had everything that people would be grateful for in life, yet it was fragile. It was dependent on the grace of God, God's will, and his turning his will over to God. And he had confidence, but confidence can be a liability. It's not as important as trusting God in everything in your life. When I do my writings, I write about decisions because it's very difficult for me to make a decision. So when I write about my meal plan, I have to take in and encompass all that's going on in my life and be kind and gentle to myself because that's the way God is. And I like vision because it talks about the spiritual and the emotional, not just the physical. The physical can begin to bore me after a while. I've lived in the mansions of my temple. I've lived in a beautiful body. I've lived in a squalor in 300 pounds. And I was totally self-reliant. And I make a business of this program. I usually listen to this meeting on my exercise bike in the morning. Motion creates emotion, so I like to get a little motion in because I have a disability where I can't move as like I could when I was younger. And I get on the exercise bike, and it helps me to attach to my emotions and my spirituality as I listen. And if I share and listening to others. So in the story of Fred, he talks about the taxi at the airport instead of his family. I've been there. I've lost my family, and I've lived with a family that I was thinned. Sometimes I believe, and I could be wrong, that when you're really happy, things and you're doing what you love, things fall into place. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. Now we have Sherry M. followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. This is Sherry M. calling recovered in California, grateful compulsive overeater who's recovered today. Wow, what a great meeting. What a great paragraph And what's really standing out for me is this, as others have said, is this being on guard. So, you know, what I've learned up to this point in the big book is that my brain is the problem. This is a, if it was just physical, then I could go to a detox for 30 days, come out and not have a problem. But the problem centers in my mind. We have numerous stories in this chapter that talk about the insanity that precedes that first bite. And so I could never use, the reason why it's never going to work for me to use my brain to be on guard is that's like going to a crack addict. You know, it's insane to think that that's, you know, the problem cannot solve the problem. There's only one solution. There's no person on this planet. There's no situation. There's no repercussion. There's no, you know, this is a matter of life or death. And the only thing that can solve this problem for me is a power that doesn't include me, which is a higher power, which means I'm not involved in it. And my mental twist, really, you know, I could see that I was failing every time I did what Fred did. Oh, this time will be different. I finally surrender. You know, I was able to surrender the big ticket items to my higher power, the refined sugar and the flour, which it was obvious I could not control those. And all I did was come up with another solution to getting comfort in this life, and that was finding substitutions that I could sometimes control and sometimes not. And then I convinced myself that I was choosing this because life was so hard and I worked so hard and I was doing all this work that I deserved it. You know, so I flipped it around and then I became a winner. And what did I win at? I win at losing life. I lost life. Every moment that I was in the food was a loss of precious life. I have no idea how long I'm going to be here. You know, the one thing we all have in common is no one's getting out alive. And I don't want to spend one more minute in a deadly, vicious cycle of a disease that ends nowhere except for me losing the battle each and every time. And thank goodness I found God brought me to a vision for you. I cannot shouted enough from the rooftops that this is the place that saved my life because I followed the instructions. I finally conceded after 15 years in the room that my body was sickened, but my mind was even more sickened than my body. And thank God I don't have to try to be on guard today. I turn everything over to a loving higher power. All I had to do was let go and yield to the one thing that could help me, which was the higher power. I had to take a back seat. Today I sit in the passenger seat of my car. God is in the driver's seat. I'm in the passenger seat. And if I can just, I just surrender and I do what my higher power wants. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams.
Okay.
That doesn't mean there's, thank you so much. I will pass. Yeah. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Sherry M. Deborah G, followed by Monica K. Good morning, Deborah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah G, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Mo, again, for your service and everyone else that's made this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you for 12-stepping me today. And I was reading again about, I was much impressed with what you fellow said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. And I was thinking about how when I was in this program and I'm listening to all of you in meetings and thinking that what you said, I'm doing and I can do it, I can do it. But in the back of my mind, I would not let go of an alcoholic food that I truly needed to let go of. You know, I'd rather appreciate your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink. I was confident it would not happen. You know, and there's again that twist, where mental twist, even though I'm not letting go of that alcoholic food, I still can do this. It's going to be okay. I'm still going to stay abstinent. You know, that it's insane. It's so insane now. Now I can see that, but I didn't see it because here I am on meetings, talking, listening, you know, feeling that I'm going to be okay. I'm abstinent and I'm all this, but yet I wouldn't let go of that last one. And, you know, licking my personal problems that I would therefore be successful where you men failed. I felt that I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. The main thought of my thinking I could hold on to that alcoholic food was my willpower, you know, and it wasn't until I truly surrendered and got back into the steps did I find the freedom and have the abstinence that I have today with those beautiful 12 steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Jabber G. And now next we have Monica K. And we might have time for maybe one more share after Monica. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Monica. I'm compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. Thank you, everybody who shared before me. It's such a hope that I'm getting from this meeting. And I, for me, the passage is very profound. I started studying psychology many years ago because I wanted to figure it out and fix. And the amount of books and seminars and self-help books and seminars I've done, it's a big, big number. And the other thing, what I've been doing, I was coming to the program and I got recovery at some degree, and I had this idea, I got it and I left. So my sponsor, one of my sponsors, she said, when I shared that with her, she said, yes, honey, you got it. You got the disease. So that's that. I have to remember that because my mind, I think like Sherry said, is very tricky. It's not dependable. And not right or wrong. It's just I need people in the program. And I'm working the steps right now just because I want a deeper recovery. And I'm very grateful that I can learn from everybody here and hear hope. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Monica Kay. And we do have time for one more three-minute share. So if anybody would like to share on page 40, second paragraph, let him tell you about it. We got room for a share. Who would like to share?
George E.
Gotcha, George. Okay, go for it.
I'm George E., compulsive eater, Ohio.
George, we're having a bad connection. George?
Is this any better?
Oh, there you are. Much better. Thank you.
Yeah, I probably should have took the technological path today, but the subtle insanity is what spoke to me. Yeah, I thought insanity had to be this big thing, you know, like, and the truth is, you know, I still try to make myself right, you know, because, well, I was always struck by that God is consciousness. God is consciousness. And so it's like a movie, right? And I get to choose what I play in the movie, you know, and that's not to obviate what's coming later about the actor and the director, because, you know, the truth is I can't be with God 24 hours, 86,400 seconds every day. Right. You know, God is infinite, truly infinite. And I'm only this finite piece part in the movie, you know. And it's not like any of us have ever gone to a bad movie, right? You know, there's some movies you just can't wait to turn off. But, you know, there's lessons there, too. You know, you can do an inventory on that. Like, why is that upsetting me so much? Not why, but, you know, where was I selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid? So this program has taught me so much about changing my consciousness. You know, that's what the program does for me. Am I ever going to be perfect? Of course not, you know. But step six tells me I've got to strive for perfection, or I got to be willing to strive for perfection. whatever that means, between me and God. And, you know, I'm not sure about Fred's story, like whether what he finally attained. I don't know. You know, and I shouldn't compare, but I view him as like a high bottom type, you know. And, you know, some of us had to go a heck of a lot further to get the message. And that's what I want to share this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping BBS.
Well, thank you, George. And that just takes us to the end of our meeting. And thank you all who shared and gave service. And I will now ask, what do we got here? We got Kara L., page 164, a vision for you. Would you please read for me?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.